Who is Jesus? Was he a prophet? Was he the Messiah? Was he a wise teacher? Or maybe he truly is God? These questions are about 2,000 years old, but many people are still wrestling with them. And today on Cross Connection, we will examine Matthew chapter 16, and we will find out who Jesus really is and why it matters. Welcome to an interactive live study of the Word of God. And I'm Oleg Kostyuk, your host. Thank you for joining me today. And thank you also for being a part of our ongoing conversation about the life of Jesus. Keep writing to us. Today I would like to encourage you to join our growing community on Facebook and on our website, and also through our emails. Don't forget that we are coming to you live right now, and we want to hear from you throughout the entire show. And Sergio, what is the main question of our show today?
Well, I'll tell you, Oleg. There are many people today who will say that Jesus was a wise man, maybe even a prophet. But many are uncomfortable with calling him Christ. For some, it's difficult to accept the supernatural notion of God walking among us. For others, a Messiah is simply unnecessary, as they don't feel their condition requires saving. But you and I know better. And that leads us to today's question. How do we say to people that Jesus wasn't just a wise man, but the Christ?
Thanks, Sergio. I would also like to encourage you to follow our discussion, so pick up your Bible and follow along. Would you agree that we are bombarded with all kinds of signs and ads? Wherever we go, we see signs. Some of them are necessary to tell us where to go and where not to go. If you ignore red and green lights or a stop sign, for instance, you can be in danger. But other signs are designed to catch your imagination and maybe even your money. Advertisement and all kinds of signs are trying to make their way into our memory. An important part of growing up is actually learning to distinguish signs that matter, which must be obeyed, from signs that don't matter, that can and perhaps should be ignored. We see something of the same nature happening as we read the Gospels. Sometimes Jesus does things and even calls them signs. But sometimes he does something and then he expects people around him to understand the true meaning of the sign. Jesus' ministry was full of signs that it seems could help people to see who he really was. But only a few saw the signs and grasped an understanding of who Jesus really was. Today, we will take a journey in time. We will travel 2,000 years back, and we will try to recognize the signs of Jesus. And joining me today are Sergio, Christina, and Jitesh. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
How do you like the weather?
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, it was rainy this morning, but it got better.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rain or sunshine, we are happy for the weather because there is no bad weather. The weather is always good, yes?
Yeah, maybe, sure. Maybe, yeah. Sure, okay. You say so. I mean,
okay, sure. Thanks for agreeing. No, because you can find beauty even in rain sometimes. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yes.
With a cup of tea or something, like not going to work sometimes. But today we will try to recognize the signs of Jesus in Matthew chapter, you can help me?
16.
Chapter 16. So you've done your homework.
Yes.
So we are in Matthew chapter 16, and I would like to let you know that, and you probably know, that chapter 16 is perhaps the most crucial chapter of the entire Gospel of Matthew, and we will see why. First of all, it's almost in the middle, or maybe it is in the middle. There is 28 chapters, No, it's not in the middle. It's almost in the middle.
Math lesson, kids. Yeah.
Almost in the middle. But at the time of like first century, when the gospel was written, there was no chapter division. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we might even see that we might even say that it is in the middle. But anyway, we will find out why it is very important. And before we start studying and analyzing the Word of God, let's pray together. And Christina, would you pray?
Yes, I'd love to. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to read your word and study it. And Lord, we just ask that you would be here in this place with us, that you would grant us wisdom, that you would grant us discernment, and that, Lord, you would speak the message to those watching, the message that you know they need to hear, that reassurance, that confirmation of their faith. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So first, I would like us to remember the question that is an overarching question. And Sergio, what is our overall question?
How do we say to people that Jesus was not just a wise man, but the Christ?
The Christ. Mm-hmm. And you even finished your prayer in Christ's name.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. What does what Christ really means? And what does the word Christ mean? I'll tell you something before you answer. Because when I was growing up, I always thought that Christ is Jesus' last name.
Aww.
So Jesus is his first name and Christ is his last name. And I thought that there is Mrs. Christ and Mr. Christ and Papa Christ. I think I was wrong. Yeah. Tell me, Sergio, was I wrong?
Well, it's kind of a cute thought, but yeah, kind of wrong. Yeah.
So what is the meaning? What is the meaning of the word Christ then?
Messiah.
Right. Messiah. Okay, what is the meaning of the word Messiah then?
The one who is coming to save us, who has come to save us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I interpret it as when I think about it. The one who has come to this earth to redeem us, to save us.
Okay, so Christ, it's the meaning of the word Christ is translation of the Hebrew word Messiah to Greek. Mm-hmm. Christ is Greek term. Okay. It was translated from Hebrew, which is Messiah. Messiah, in its term, means anointed one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the one who is anointed. Mm-hmm. Who was the one who was supposed to anoint the Messiah? Who was anointing the Messiah? God.
God the Father.
So God the Father anointed the Messiah, and he was actually the king, or he was supposed to be the king, and he was supposed to be the Lord. Mm-hmm. Or the Messiah, the Christ. And today we will try to understand what is the real meaning of the word Christ, not only the word Christ, and how people accepted Jesus and maybe not accepted. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we read our chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, let me ask you another question. In my introduction, I said that our world is bombarded with signs. And what do the signs usually communicate to us? Signs and advertisements. What do they communicate?
It could be anything. Seems to be just anything flashy that wants to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what is the purpose of the signs?
Well, it seems to be that you are lacking something, and this can complete you, or this can improve you, or this can make you look better or feel better. Or people will respond better towards you if you have this product.
Okay, so whenever we look at advertisement, they try to this is in order for you to feel completely fulfilled. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay, let's having that in mind, let's get to the text. And we are in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. And Jitesh, mm-hmm. could you read this
sure.
text for us?
Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed.
Okay, tell me, what is happening in this in the beginning of chapter 16?
Those pesky Pharisees and Sadducees show up again.
Again, yes, yeah. again.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the Pharisees and Sadducees, before we read about the scribes and Pharisees,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and here is the first time when the Pharisees and Sadducees are brought together.
Mm.
And this is, it's a tiny detail, and sometimes we just overlook those details. But those details are very important, because Pharisees and Sadducees, they would usually not associate.
Correct.
Yeah, because they had different worldviews. They had different lifestyle. For instance, Pharisees, they believed in afterlife, and they also believed in oral Torah. While oral Torah, which is besides five books of the Old Testament, they also believed in something that can be orally transmitted. And it was recorded in second century. But Sadducees, they didn't believe in all those things. So they had different worldviews, different understanding of the scripture even. And now they were brought together with one aim. What was their aim?
They had a common enemy, I guess.
They had a common enemy. Remember again, where is Jesus located? Somewhere in the Galilee.
Towards and, the north.
Yes, towards the north. And people from all the way from Jerusalem came to visit him again, one more time. And their request was for a sign. For a sign. What is a sign? Maybe it's a question that Jitesh wanted to ask. And I remember before we went here in the studio, Jitesh said, what is the sign? So what is the sign? Jitesh, I would like to ask this question to you. And what?
I was going to ask you.
Okay. So then Sergio can answer. No, or maybe Christina, what is the sign? What were they looking for?
Sergio will be happy to answer this one.
Hot potato. They seem to just be saying, hey, prove something to us, you know?
Prove. Exactly. So they were trying to say, okay, we want to see something, prove to us that you are...
Let's see it, guy, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually something specific. It was more so like a challenge. I want to see something unbelievable.
A test.
I want something, I just wanted to be mind blown. Like, this is going to be crazy.
It was a test.
It was a test.
It was a laboratory test. Like, it was like, okay, if you are the one that you claim to be, if you're the one that they claim you to be, do it.
Right. It wasn't that kind of request of, Lord, give me confirmation that you're with me, or give me confirmation or a sign that you want me to do this. It was more of like, in your face, hey, are you really who you say you are, buddy? Prove it to me.
Well, and it's also, it's making me think, like, we haven't gotten to this part yet, but how open has Jesus been with who he is up until now? You know what I mean? Is he up on the mountaintop saying that he's the Christ, that he is the Messiah?
Good point.
I mean, so in a lot of ways, what they're saying, you almost get where they're coming from, because he hasn't really said who he is yet, as far as I can tell. You know, so far they just see as some guy doing amazing things, and they're saying, all right, who are you really? Show us, you know?
This is a very good point. And I'm looking forward to our discussion after a short break. And I promise we will look at one passage of the Old Testament that will help us to answer this question completely. After a short break, we will return to take a closer look at Jesus' signs in our world today as well. And don't forget to respond to our question. How do we say to people that Jesus wasn't just a wise man, but the Christ?
How do you spark the flames of romance into a ho-hum marriage?
The truth about relationships is that the longer we are together, the lazier we become. Couples today are spending a lot of time pursuing such goals as higher income, buying nicer cars, bigger homes, and even their own individual leisure. While there's nothing necessarily wrong with these pursuits, we can't do them to the detriment of marriage. So couples need to learn that the more time they spend together, the stronger their romantic ties will be.
So they need to be intentional about doing special things with each other. Going out on dates, it was easy when you were dating, but now that you're married, you're busy. And you need to be intentional about doing nice things, being nice to each other, and doing those things over and over and over again.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. And over the break, we had this wonderful discussion. So please join us all the time, even throughout the break. Don't go anywhere. So we just talked about Jesus revealing himself, not revealing himself, sorry. Mm-hmm. He was approached by Sadducees and Pharisees, and they were demanding a sign. Mm-hmm. And we just talked about, and Jitesh raised a very good point, that it was a laboratory test, so to speak. So they were testing Jesus. It wasn't even, and Christina said very good, like you also mentioned that it was, Christ wasn't trying to, they were not trying to seek confirmation, right. but what? Just a test.
Prove it to me. Prove that it. You are the Son of God. Yeah. Prove it to me.
And Sergio said that right before this moment, he wasn't revealing
right.
to everyone that he is the Christ. Let us read let us read Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and let's see. What was the intention behind them approaching Jesus? Mm-hmm. So we are in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And Christina?
Sure, I'll read it. Mm-hmm. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart mm-hmm. and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst.
Wow. Did you get it? Did you get the entire verse?
Yeah.
What is happening here? So, did Pharisees and Sadducees know the Bible?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They knew it by heart.
Of course they did.
So, when they approached Jesus and when they demanded a sign, what was behind?
Perhaps Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5.
Exactly. Because what does it say in Deuteronomy 13? If somebody... Help me.
They want to put the evil away from their midst.
Exactly. So if somebody makes any miracle or a sign, and they lead you astray, just do what with that person in verse 5 we read? That person shall be put to death. Now imagine what is happening here in Matthew chapter 16. Mm-hmm. So they approached Jesus, and their reaction was, okay, their demand was, okay, show us a sign. Because if your sign is, as Deuteronomy 13 says, then we have a good reason for you to be put
to death.
Wow. See, I'm learning.
Okay. No, think about it for a second.
I didn't know that.
Now let's read, bear this in mind, and let's continue reading Matthew chapter 16, and bear in mind that they had this notion, okay, show us a sign because we want you to be dead. Mm-hmm. Let's continue reading, verse 5 all the way through verse 12, and Sergio, if you could continue reading.
Verse 5?
Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 16, verse 5, yeah.
Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So it seems like this text speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you bear in mind the reason why the Sadducees and Pharisees approached Jesus, we can see what the reason was why Jesus was saying these words. Mm-hmm. So what is happening here? Jitesh, can you help us?
Well... The disciples forgot the bread.
Yes.
And then they were afraid that Jesus was upset with them because they forgot the bread. Mm. I also thought that they were upset because, you know, that they forgot the bread. But then Jesus said about all the times he used bread and mm-hmm. he multiplied them.
Yes.
And he's saying, you know, haven't you seen me do this? Mm. And then he says, but beware of the leaven. And I started to research leaven then, because you can't just you read it and you skip over it.
Okay, so leaven. What is the word leaven?
Understand what it is. Mm-hmm. You want me to say that?
Of course. Yeah. What is leaven?
I don't know the exact answer, but from what I recall, it's like it spreads. Mm-hmm. Leaven it's like that small. It's really small
yeast.
Yeah, and it expands, so it like almost spreads like a disease or something like that.
Exactly.
I don't know.
It causes bread to grow.
Yeah. Exactly.
Grow.
This is very interesting, because at the time, we all talk about Easter. Mm-hmm. At the time of Jesus, Easter, when Easter was celebrated, they were required to remove all the yeast from their house. Mm-hmm. So the connotation of the leaven was always negative.
Kind of like an impurity?
Exactly, because it was like impurity or something negative. And Jitesh raised a very important point, because it spreads as well. It spreads all around. So when we read this text, we can see that Jesus was saying about what? What was he talking about?
The doctrines. What they were teaching is that what they're teaching spreads. It just spreads to everyone that comes in contact. And don't be fooled by the stuff that they spread.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And I think also, like Jesus is saying, be careful, because their doctrine has been diluted with their own interpretations or their own convictions that aren't necessarily of heavenly truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. But let us jump in the same boat with the disciples, even though they were not in the boat at that time. But let us just imagine ourselves sitting there in that boat and just hearing the same words towards us about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, knowing that we didn't bring any bread. Mm-hmm. And our immediate reaction is like, oh no, he's talking again about me, because I was supposed to take some bread with me, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. Oh no. let's just look from outside. What would you think about those disciples? What do you think about those disciples?
Like, come on. How can you forget so quickly what he has done for you in the past?
Okay, in Matthew, when did we read the story of 4,000 being fed?
Just previously.
Yeah. In chapter 14. Yeah. Chapter 15. The end of chapter 15. 4,000 is fed. Mm-hmm. Just before that, there is another miracle.
Yep. No, it's like he's being kind here when he says, oh, you of little faith, because he should be saying, oh, you of like little brain cells, you know? Because it's like, well, how do they not remember? How do they not know what he's talking about at this point, you know? Like, he's having to beat them over the head with a hammer with this stuff. But they get it eventually, you know?
There's another interesting story. Remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 30.
Okay.
What does it say and what Jesus said there to his disciples and also to us? Mm-hmm. Sergio?
Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
Mm-hmm. So we read this, remember the Sermon on the Mount, we studied the Sermon on the Mount, we had a series on the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is saying, I will take care of you.
Right.
Now I'm here among you, and you think about bread?
Right.
Okay, let's just take a journey back to 2000 today. Now, would you agree, or did you have any occasions when you felt the same as disciples?
You mean forgetting what Christ has done for us in the past?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many times.
Could you give us an example, maybe? Maybe not your, I mean, something like, not maybe an example, but how can it happen?
No, I mean, I catch myself doing that all the time, you know, where like you'll pray over something so hard and you like have this like just profound, you know, existential, experiential thing where you're pleading with God for something and he sees you through it. And then you just forget about it so quickly.
Yes.
You know, it's like incredible. You know, this incredibly profound way that God helps you out. And then just instantly, how am I going to get to this? Or, oh no, what's going to happen to me when this happens? And we're all like this, you know.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Amen, Sergio.
Unfortunately.
I guess you're right, Sergio. I know that you're right now, completely. And remember, remember the context now. Mm-hmm. So the disciples and Jesus, they're approached by Sadducees and Pharisees. They're demanding a sign. Mm-hmm. Now Jesus is talking about, beware of this leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Stay connected. Mm-hmm. And then he continues and then he says, but there is something very important. You were not able to recognize the signs that I performed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I show those signs, the miracles. And mm-hmm. if you accept that I am the Messiah, I am the Lord, would you worry about the bread? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you worry about any worldly things? Mm-hmm. Your life, after all.
Right.
What does it mean for a disciple to accept that Jesus is the Lord today for us as disciples?
Well, I mean, that's a big loaded question.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think part of it, to even reach the point where you think you even need saving, because that's what Messiah is, someone who saves you, basically. Mm-hmm. You have to recognize how desperately you need saving. You need to recognize how fallen your condition is, you know, and how much you need, and then how thankful you become when you see what the character that Christ had. It mm-hmm. just makes it all the more, you know, exciting and rewarding to know that.
I'm afraid we need to take a break after this profound comment. But we will be back. In a little while, we will try to answer the question, how do we say to people that Jesus wasn't just a wise man, but the Christ? Let us know what you think, and your comment will be read here in the studio. We will be back after a very short break.
Dr. Luke believed in letting the church know the amazing things that God was doing through the ministry of Paul and his evangelism team. But how do you know if you're sharing for the right motive? When would it be dangerous to share all that God has done? We'll talk about letting the church know this week on Hope Sabbath School. I invite you to join us.
As you look in the mirror, what do you see? Is it the desperate look of having tried over and over and failed time and again? Is it the discouragement that comes from living a lie, having to cover your tracks all the time? Telling lies about the number of drinks, the number of pills, the tobacco, the marijuana, where all that money has gone that you use to support your addiction, your absences from work or school, why you're constantly sucking peppermints to clear or disguise your breath. You can only start to tackle the problem when you acknowledge that it exists. And that's what we each need to do. Acknowledge our problem, our situation, and then actively seek for help to try and break the habit.
Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. Share your thoughts, your comments, and your questions with us here in the studio. Okay, let's make a short recap of the entire story that we just read. So, Christina, what did you learn in this when we read just two passages?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees were trying to corner Jesus and mm-hmm. get him to show them a sign to prove if he's the Messiah. And then Jesus is telling his disciples, basically, be careful what the Sadducees and Pharisees are saying, and also, how could you so quickly forget how faithful I've been to you in the past?
Mm-hmm. Jitesh, what did you learn?
Well, one big thing that stood out to me was when you had talked about Deuteronomy. And mm-hmm. for me, that really put into perspective where the Sadducees and Pharisees. So they're kind of using the Bible against mm-hmm. Jesus, mm-hmm. which is like, mm-hmm. oh man, I never knew that. So I'm really learning a lot.
Just like Satan used yes. always the gospel, the Bible in order to accuse Jesus. Sergio.
Well, you know, we know that Jesus was not a fan of hypocrisy, and it's easy to go, those Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, and point mm-hmm. our fingers at them. But it's important that we kind of discuss what is the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, like, what do we know about them? And we know that they're seeking a sign here. We know that they represent a kind of false piety, a piety through self, through what you do, and I earn it by doing these things and not doing these other things. And we have a question along those lines that we got through text that asks, do you think the same concerns are being seen in the church today? By concerns, I mean the teachings of the Pharisees.
This is a good question. So if we talk about worldwide church, any church, would you agree or would you disagree with the question?
Just us right here.
Exactly. Like people in general, any Christians, any Christians, do you feel like we, like, so if you could repeat the question, do you feel like we...
Do you feel that basically, do you think the same concerns are being seen in the church today? The teachings of the Pharisees.
Well, when we were mentioning about Deuteronomy and how the Sadducees were working, using the Bible against, you know, Jesus, that made me think about how many people do I know in my church or in any church that I go to who read the Bible and misinterpret it and then use it against me or say, oh, the Bible says this and this is what you're supposed to do. Is that what we're discussing with how people put in their own doctrines and then push it? Is that along the lines of what we're talking about? Because that's what I feel when I'm thinking about it.
Very good point. So sometimes we can see people misinterpreting the Bible, and how important it is for us to be like, to first of all let the Holy Spirit help us in understanding the Bible.
Right.
And not only that, but we also need to remember that Bible interprets itself, and second, we need always to take into consideration the entire context of the scripture. There is such thing as sola scriptura, which is only the Bible. Tota scriptura, the entire Bible. So, and that is why it is very important to take into consideration the entire Bible and also the influence of the Holy Spirit when we interpret. Very good point.
Yeah.
What else?
Here you have two completely opposite worldviews being presented. You have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is righteousness through what you do and piety and not having a true love of God and being out of touch with God, and then you have Christ on the other end of it. And it's important to kind of understand the distinction of that, especially in our own lives, because all of us tend to swing towards the Pharisee side more than the Christ side if we're not careful. So it's something that it's easy to just point our fingers at them, but you still see it a lot, unfortunately.
Interesting and very good point. It's also very interesting that when Jesus was, when you look at the life of Jesus, he wasn't only presenting the worldview, he was presenting the lifestyle. And when we think about the leaven and the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, especially in the Bible, whenever we read, we constantly think about, like, they were presenting the worldview. They were not presenting the lifestyle. And how important for us to abide in Jesus, as we'll be reading in the Gospel according to John, as we get to that season, in the Gospel according to John, to abide in Jesus and experience the lifestyle. Yeah. Okay, we need to go forward. We need to go forward, and then we'll get a few other comments. So we are in Matthew chapter 16, and let us read verses 13 all the way to verse 20. And if Christina can read for us verses 13 through 16, and then Jitesh can continue.
Sure. 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus Christ.
Okay, so now we reach to the point, like, do you see this climax? First, he's approached by the Pharisees and Sadducees. They are demanding for a sign. Second, he's saying, like, you didn't see those signs when he talks to his disciples. And then third,
finally has come the point when he confronts the disciples and he says, who do people say that I am? Mm-hmm. And who do you say that I am?
Right.
So how important is this passage? Do you feel how important this passage is?
Yeah.
Very important. Let us just draw the geography lesson, just for, I promise, not more than 1 minute. So there is a map. I would like us to see a map. This map of the Israel, Palestine. So Judea. And right in the right upper corner, there is Caesarea Philippi. So Jesus was not in Judea anymore. He was up, and he wasn't even in Galilee. He was up in Caesarea Philippi, which was Gentile city. So he was right next to this Gentile city. Why do you think Jesus, and Matthew writes it clearly, that he was in Caesarea Philippi, why did he have to go all the way up there, and then he needed to ask that question? For that question, just any thoughts, any ideas?
You know, I'm going to have to throw that question back at you, Oleg. You're the expert.
Good call.
But so if you think about it, it's a tiny detail. Mm-hmm. But when you study the Bible, it's very important to take those details into consideration as well, because they can shed some light, additional light. Mm-hmm. First, we need to remember that Caesarea Philippi was a Gentile city. Mm-hmm. And moreover, Roman garrison was in that place. So Roman armies, thousands of soldiers were there, located there as well. When Jesus went there, it seems like he wanted to be outside of even of his country, mm-hmm. completely. But what he's presenting there is amazing. And we will see how important it is. So first, remember that he was outside of Galilee, outside of Judea. He was in Gentile country. And the question that he asks, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And what was the immediate response?
Some say this, some say that.
Mm-hmm. Bring it to our contemporary world. Now, this question. Some say...
Well, he was a wise man, he was a teacher, he had some smart things to say, you know, all that kind of stuff.
He may even be the prophet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but he's not who he claimed to be.
Right. Or some people will say that, you know, people added that later. He never claimed to be the Christ. Mm-hmm. People just added that later because they wanted him to be the Christ and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very interesting. So what was the response? So they claimed, okay, the disciples explained who he was or he wasn't. And then he said to them, but who do you say that mm-hmm. I am? Why was it so important for him to know what the disciples thought about him?
Because they were so closely following him. He was with them day in and day out, and they had seen the miracles and the wonders that he had done and performed. Mm-hmm. They had seen his glimpses of divinity, and he wanted to know, you know, do you guys know who I am? Do you get it? Have you caught on?
This is a very, very, very dramatic question, to be honest. Yeah. Imagine people, 12 people, maybe more than 12 people, following Jesus day and night, and then seeing all those miracles, all those signs, and then face the same question. Mm-hmm. Who do you think I really am?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine me following Jesus for how many years? I will not tell how old I am, but anyway, 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. Mm-hmm. Following Jesus seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus is approaching you and saying, you know what, do you really know who I am? Mm-hmm. Do you know me?
Right.
Mm.
Okay, food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any comments, Sergio?
I think it's profound. Obviously, Peter's reaction is very profound. Mm-hmm. You are the Christ.
Yes.
And especially the fact that, again, is placed after what we were reading before about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not in us, it is in you. You are the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You are our salvation. In you is our life. You know,
mm-hmm.
and not in us. And to me, that's what's so profound. And what makes it all the more profound, again, is when you know the character of Jesus, and when you think of that is the Christ. You know, John says that God doesn't just have love for us, God is love for us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you consider that is who the Christ is, then it's just, you talk about good news. I mean, there's nothing better, you know.
Exactly. And, yeah, Jitesh?
To add to that, I like to discuss with my family before mm-hmm. I come on Cross Connection. So I discuss it in depth with my dad. And my father wrote me like little notes on things to help me understand. So mm-hmm. I wrote, as I was reading it, he broke it down a little better where he said, sure, everybody here would probably stand up and say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. But Peter was the first person in human history to ever say it aloud. And he said it when few were with Jesus and many were against him. Mm-hmm. So that means a lot more with the fact that this was when many were against Jesus. So in our lives, would we do that when there's so many people saying, you know, oh, who's this Jesus that you worship? What is your faith? Are you going to stand up for Jesus and mm-hmm. say, yes, I do believe in you. You are Jesus. You are the Christ mm-hmm. without hesitating.
This is a very good point. If you have your computer nearby, now is the perfect time to answer Jitesh's question as well. To go online and maybe answer the question, how do we say to people that Jesus wasn't just a wise man, but the Christ? Do we have the courage to do that? We will be back in studio to continue our discussion after a very short break.
Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
Ready for a prayer that will revolutionize your life? A prayer that God can use to change the world through you? Jesus invites us to pray a radical prayer. My book, The Radical Prayer, invites you to be a part of the harvest. The Radical Prayer is available online at AdventistBookCenter.com or at your local Adventist Book Center. Are you ready? Pray the Radical Prayer.
Welcome back. If you want to join our discussion, the contact info is on your screen. And Sergio, do we have comments?
Yeah, you know, we have quite a few comments. One comment that we received through text I find mm-hmm. very profound. It says, a modern application is that we can only understand who Jesus is when we follow him daily as the disciples did, through Bible study, prayer, etc. Peter could only determine that Jesus was Christ by having a daily relationship with him. And it's just really profound to think that, as far as we know, Jesus wasn't going around saying, hey, I'm the Christ, I'm the Christ, I'm the Christ. Peter knew he was the Christ just by being around him, just by looking at him, just by seeing what he did, seeing the love that he felt for everyone, his compassion. He knew it just by being around him.
Praise God for this comment. Unfortunately, we don't have the name of the caller, but thank you so much for this profound comment. And let's just read one more text, and then we'll go to other comments.
Sure.
And it's... verse 17, after Peter said, yes, I know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living one, the living God. Verse 17, what does verse 17 say? Says, Christina, could you read
17 verse
1? No, chapter 16, verse 17.
I'm sorry.
Certainly.
Verse 17 says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
Think about it. Think how profound this statement is.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, ultimately,
yes.
Who revealed it to you?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Did you come to your own conclusions only?
No.
No.
It's my God, Father. Yeah. Excellent. Do you have any other comments?
Yeah. Emily says, I find this question to be hard to answer, which it is. Mm-hmm.
Which question? Could you repeat it to us again?
The question that we asked, which was, how do we say to people that Jesus wasn't just a wise man, but the Christ? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She continues, but I find that we can explain that he was not just a wise man. In fact, that a wise man is still a sinner. A wise man fails. A wise man is human. The Lord, Christ, was as a child, as it says in Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord was as a child around others. When authority was around him, he was humble. When he could have saved himself, he decided to tell the truth as a child. When he saw someone doing bad, he helped. God was as a child, but a wise man, although wise, has lost his innocence. Still, it's a very hard question to answer. So, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for being honest. It's mm-hmm. a very hard question to answer. Yeah, it is probably a very hard question to answer. But it may be a question for us to think about as well.
Right, right.
Not maybe only to write, but also to think about it.
And I like what Carmen has to say, because I think on Facebook, because I mm-hmm. think that's what it is, this would be my answer. Mm. Since Jesus didn't claim to be simply a wise man, we can use his own words to say what he wanted us to know about him. I love his promise in John 14:1-7. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really, at the end of the day, you read the... Because even people that don't think he's Christ will acknowledge that, oh, yeah, there are many wise things. And even then, they try to casually toss, well, there's wise things in there. No, there's not just wise things in there. There are things that, up until that point in the course of human history, had never even been said before, you know, mm-hmm. completely changed the course of human history, even cut it in half. Mm-hmm. And when that same person then says that he is the Son of God, then he's either a crazy person, a lunatic, and you discard everything he ever said, or he's right, you know, and you kind of have to choose one or the other. There's no in-between that a lot of people keep trying to subscribe to.
Excellent. Yeah, Jitesh?
So when, like, I've been in situations where people have said, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. I believe, and then I've heard other times, I believe that there is a God. So I'm a Christian. Is this correct? Is this okay mm-hmm. to say, I believe in God? So is that the same as saying what we're talking about here?
Is it enough maybe to say?
Yeah, is it enough? Is it the same thing?
Let us see the following text, and maybe the following text will reveal to us what was the response after Jesus acknowledged, said, you know what, my Father revealed to you who is in heaven, who I really am. And verse 18 says, and I also, can we continue reading, Jitesh, mm-hmm. verse 18.
And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
This is a very important text. So, and we cannot just omit this verse. Because this verse may shed light on our understanding and what does it mean to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ. Mm-hmm. First, Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the Living One. Second, we know that Jesus responded back, who revealed to you that I am the Son of the Living God?
The Father.
My Father, through the Holy Spirit, so it was the Father. And then he continues, you are Peter.
Yes.
What does the word mean? What does the word Peter mean, the name?
Stone.
Stone, correct. So in Hebrew it was Cephas, and in Greek it's Peter. And then Jesus, there is a word play. It's very interesting that many reformers theologians in the 16th century, they always talked about not Peter being the rock here, mm-hmm. but Jesus. Mm-hmm. And let us see what Peter had to say about the rock. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 verses 8 through 12, but we will probably read just one verse. So we are in Acts chapter 4.
Verse 8,
yes, starting at verse 8.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Am I reading the right
Yes, way? Yes.
Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone.
So, and then can you continue, verse 12?
Nor is there salvation in any other. for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
So what, who Peter said the stone is?
Jesus.
Peter himself. And we can continue reading. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, and I would like to, our readers to note it down. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, Peter continues reading, but we will not be able to read it now because we don't have enough time. Mm-hmm. But he continues and he says that Jesus is the cornerstone. So when we read this passage, in other words, we can read, you are Peter, mm-hmm. which your name means the rock. But then, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. So, and then this rock I will build my church. Church, another word which is very important. Church means the assembly of people. There is another, okay, I need to share it with you. Yeah. I'm very excited about it. In a Jewish understanding, the temple, we know that the temple, the Mount Zion, it was, first of all, it was built on the rock, but what is also very important, they thought, Jewish tradition, thought that the temple was the place where heaven and earth would meet. And the gates of the Hades were there as well. Underneath, it's Pharisees thought about it. Mm-hmm. So what Jesus is saying here, that nothing will be able to prevail. He continues in the same verse. He says, and on this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Then we also talked, so it was just one interpretation, which was an understanding of the Jewish tradition. There is another thing. When Peter, in the book of Acts, when he was saying that you crucified Jesus, who was that you who he was referring to? The people. Mm-hmm. Yes? So when we read the same verse, and when we read the same context, in Caesarea Philippi, there were Roman soldiers standing there. Mm-hmm. And those Roman soldiers, throughout the centuries, up to the 3rd century, they were trying to overcome the church. Mm-hmm. To overcome the assembly of the believers. So they were, so to speak, representatives of the gates of Hades, the gates of hell. So he's saying, you know what, hell will try to overcome you, but be courageous. Because if you are standing on the rock, and who is that rock?
Jesus.
And this confession of Jesus, you will be saved.
Awesome. Great explanation.
Okay, let's talk about what you learned today.
All right.
And do we have any other comments?
Yeah, we have one from Tracy on Facebook. It says, I think John 1:1-5 puts it rather succinctly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He is God and Creator. If you can't accept this biblical truth, then you might as well throw out the Bible, as it is the very foundation of the Bible.
This is great. He's the truth. He's the ultimate way. Mm-hmm. And we cannot explain it in one program, but we will continue. So, Jitesh, in 5 seconds, what did you learn today? I know that you can do it.
I'm going to try to go fast, but I already had it. When I was thinking about Columbine, people come in. If someone put a gun to my head and to tell me, do you believe in Jesus? What would be my answer? Do I believe in Jesus? So this really helps me to believe, like, if someone did that, would I be able to respond and say, Jesus, yes, I do believe in Jesus. Give up my life.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm so thankful for joining me today. And unfortunately, we don't have any other more time to share our thoughts. Sergio, Christina, Jitesh, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to everyone who was able to join us today. We will be back after a very short break with today's conclusion.
What to take? Fruit or fruit juices? Well, they're both good. But this morning I had a glass of fruit juice and really enjoyed it. A cup of grape juice. It was just lovely. There is, however, a little problem. You see, when you take the fruit juice, you're getting a concentrated extract of the fruit. So you get a lot of calories, a lot of sugar. Oh yes, lots of flavor too. But you're missing the fiber. And the fiber is a very important constituent of our fruit. So when it comes down to watching your weight, as many of us need to do, myself included, then we perhaps should look at whether we're taking our fruits as fruit juices or as whole fruits. A whole apple, for example, gives us a lot more fiber. So does a whole orange. And that is something to bear in mind if you have a problem with your weight. Because there's a lot of sugar in a glass of fruit juice.
Peter and the other disciples recognized who Jesus really was. Imagine how difficult it was for them to be silent about it. Their hearts were on fire. They wanted to let the entire world know that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus commanded his disciples not to tell anyone that he was Jesus the Christ. At that time, it was the only wise decision. But after the resurrection, Jesus had another command. He commanded his disciples to preach and make disciples of all the nations. Let me share a true story that was shared by Peggy Desnoyers in Silent No More. Peggy was a psychiatric nurse. Her job brought her in touch with many people who were searching for answers to problems in their lives. Listen to what she had to say. I knew that Jesus was the answer, but I couldn't bring myself to talk to them about him. I was the master of excuses. Then one patient changed my life. That patient was Wanda, who suffered with chronic depression. Many people in her family had died, some of them tragically. The loss and her grief became too great of a burden for the widow. One day, she quit her job, went home, pulled the curtains, and refused to leave her house. Eventually, she stopped eating. Even the smallest task became too difficult for her. A neighbor noticed the change in Wanda's behavior and made arrangements for her to be taken to a hospital, where she was admitted to the psychiatric ward. When Wanda went home, Peggy was assigned to be her home health nurse. She visited her weekly to make sure she was taking care of herself. Over the course of 6 months, Wanda continued to recover. Although Peggy knew she needed to meet Jesus as her Savior, she reasoned that she would soon be attending church and would hear about him there. One day, Peggy went to Wanda's house and was surprised to find the door slightly opened. She knocked, and when there was no response, she pushed the door and opened and stepped inside. Peggy found Wanda's lifeless body in the bedroom. In her hand was a note to Peggy saying, "Dear Peggy, I'm so sorry. I tried it your way, but I got tired. Please forgive me." Peggy cried her heart out to Lord. She said, "Lord Jesus, I gave her the best that I had, but it was my way. I didn't tell her about you. I didn't tell her about your way. Jesus is the only way. He is the Christ. He cares and wants to take all your pain. Until next week, stay connected with Jesus in your everyday life."